tonight. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to meet together and study your word, pray together, and encourage one another. And Lord, we ask that you would meet with us in a special way, that we would sense your presence and desire to glorify you in everything that we do, every word we say. And Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah again as we began this series. And because of the time factor, I divided the message in half. So we're going to continue where we left off last Wednesday. As I pointed out last week, sometimes it's helpful to focus on a particular aspect of prayer, but in this message series, I'd like to take a different approach by studying the life of someone who is a man of prayer and seeing how we can emulate the things that made him an effective prayer warrior. Nehemiah is one example of an individual about whom the Bible only records good things, and I believe his prayer life was the reason for his spiritual success. Last week, we began learning some good lessons on prayer from Nehemiah. We'll continue this evening, so if you missed the previous message, I would encourage you to listen to it on our website. Let me again review the background of the time of Nehemiah. Israel had been taken into captivity by the Babylonian Empire in 605 BC. 70 years later, in 536 BC, Zerubbabel is allowed to return with a number of Israelites and rebuilds the temple. So keep in mind, that was the rebuilding of the temple. That was completed in 516 BC. Now, in 445 BC, Nehemiah, who is the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes in the Persian palace in Susa, or Shushan, was burdened for his people and for the state of the walls around Jerusalem. Nehemiah prayed to God, and God answered by moving the king to send Nehemiah to Jerusalem as its governor. In the previous message, we began to see why God was so ready to answer Nehemiah's prayers, because of Nehemiah's priorities in life and his perseverance in prayer. So let's examine thirdly and finally Nehemiah's performance under opposition. Notice his response to mockery and scorn. Would you turn to chapter 2 of Nehemiah? Hope you've got Nehemiah open there in your Bible. In chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Let me read that for us. I told them, Nehemiah speaking here, I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. This is Artaxerxes. Then they said, "Let us arise and build." So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem." Nehemiah gave God the glory and testified to God's power and enablement. He declared his determination to do God's will, as you can see from what we just read. He clearly drew the line of distinction between God's servants and God's enemies. We can learn from Nehemiah's example here that Satan will often defeat us when we are tempted to blur the line of distinction between God's servants and God's enemies. That may be something that we think would be unthinkable, and why would anybody do that? But it happens very often. If we do that blurring of the line of distinction, we fail to keep God's holy character pure and fail to show God's purpose clearly. So notice Nehemiah's response to ridicule. Would you turn to chapter 4 of Nehemiah? Chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Now, it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?" Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was near him, and he said, "Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down." And then, of course, Nehemiah begins praying to the Lord, "Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads, and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before you, for they have demoralized the builders." So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So Nehemiah's first response was that he prayed. He understood that the opposition was ultimately against God himself, and we would do well to learn from that for ourselves. When people are opposing us in something spiritual, realize they're really against God, and it's Satan who is making this happen. So Nehemiah got busy doing God's will, building. He prayed, and he got busy doing what God told him to do. And that's a good example for us as well. Pray, ask the Lord to work in the situation, then get busy doing what you know God wants you to do. Notice Nehemiah's response to anger and threats of violence. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. "Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem to cause a disturbance in it." Okay, there we go. "But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night." Once again, his first response was prayer. Only God could deliver. You see, when we pray first, instead of worry first or get mad first or whatever else, just pray first. It reminds us that only God can do whatever needs to be done. Okay, it puts us back in a proper perspective. His second response was unceasing vigilance against the enemy. We too must be vigilant against Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5, keep your place in Nehemiah, but 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So be vigilant against Satan, be alert. Notice Nehemiah's response to discouraged brethren. In chapter 4, verses 10 through 23, we read this. "Thus in Judah it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemies said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space between the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work, and the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we carried on the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time I also said to the people, "Let each man with his servants spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day." So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon, even to the water, I assume to wash. Nehemiah reminded them of God's person and power and promises, as you see in verse 14 as well as verse 20. He reminded them of their God-given responsibilities. You see that in verse 14. He reorganized them to better help and protect each other. We saw that in verses 16 through 22. Notice his response to oppressive brethren. Look at chapter 5, Nehemiah chapter 5. You read verses 1 through 19. "Now, there was a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. For there were those who said, 'We, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live.' There were others who said, 'We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses, that we might get grain because of the famine. Also, there were those who said, 'We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. Now our flesh is like the flesh of our brothers, our children like their children. Yet, behold, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters are forced into bondage already. And we are helpless because our fields and vineyards belong to others.' Then I was very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. I consulted with myself and contended with the nobles and the rulers and said to them, 'You are exacting usury, each from his brother.' Therefore I held a great assembly against them. I said to them, 'We, according to our ability, have redeemed our Jewish brothers who were sold to the nations. Now would you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us?' Then they were silent and could not find a word to say. Again I said, 'The thing which you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? And likewise, I, my brothers, and my servants are lending them money and grain. Please let us leave off this usury. Please give back to them this very day their fields, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, also the 100th part of the money and of the grain, the new wine and the oil that you are exacting from them.' Then they said, 'We will give it back and will require nothing from them. We will do exactly as you say.' So I called the priests and took an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. I also shook out the front of my garment and said, 'Thus may God shake out every man from his house and from his possessions who does not fulfill this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied.' And all the assembly said, 'Amen.'" Actually, they said, "Amen." That's in Hebrew. "And they praised the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the day that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, for 12 years, neither I nor my kinsmen have eaten the governor's food allowance. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants domineered the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. I also applied myself to the work on this wall. We did not buy any land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now that which was prepared for each day was one ox and six choice sheep. Also birds were prepared for me, and once in 10 days all sorts of wine were furnished in abundance. Yet for all this I did not demand the governor's food allowance, because the servitude was heavy on this people. Remember me, O my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Nehemiah rebuked the nobles who were oppressing the people, as you can see in verses 6 through 11. He reinforced his calls for restoration by his notable example, as you see in verses 14 through 19. Don't miss the important principle here that although it's important to tell other believers what is the right thing to do, it is even more important to back it up by your example. Notice Nehemiah's response to calls for compromise. Now we're in chapter 6, verses 1 through 19 again. Now, when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, to Geshem the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and that no breach remained in it, although at that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me, saying, come, let us meet together at Chephirim in the plain of Ono. But they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? They sent messages to me four times in this manner, and I answered them in the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Gashmu says, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. Therefore you are rebuilding the wall, and you are to be their king according to these reports. You have also appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you, a king is in Judah. Now it will be reported to the king according to these reports. So come now, let us take counsel together. Then I sent a message to him saying, such things as you are saying have not been done, but you are inventing them in your own mind. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. When I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. But I said, should a man like me flee? And should one such as I go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered his prophecy against me because of Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act accordingly and sin, so that they might have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works of theirs, and also Noadiah the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Also in those days, many letters went from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. Moreover, they were speaking about his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. Then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Thank you for your patience as I read all these passages, but you at least get what's going on here. Notice Nehemiah refused to even talk with the enemy, you see in verses 3 and 4. He refuted the lies invented by the enemy, and he remembered to pray for strength. You notice how these one-sentence prayers, he just kept talking to God throughout this whole time. In verse 9, he says, for all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. Then he prays, but now, O God, strengthen my hands. So he remembered to pray for God to strengthen him. He resisted calls by false brethren to compromise. We saw that in verses 10 through 13. and he resorted to prayer for God to vindicate his name and his people. As we see in verse 14, remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works of theirs, and also Noadiah the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. God answered Nehemiah's prayers, as we can see in chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So why did God answer Nehemiah's prayers? I believe because of his priorities in life, his perseverance in prayer, and his performance under opposition. If you and I would see God answer our prayers in the same way as he did Nehemiah's, I believe you and I will have to reorder our priorities in life, learn perseverance in prayer, and begin today to respond in a Christ-like way to all types of opposition. By the way, we're going to experience opposition. The good news is God is for us and God will strengthen us. We just need to keep talking to him, keep him in first place in our hearts and lives.